We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Our good buddy Ian Begley is tweeting out that Bogdanovich is going to have foot surgery, so that means he's done. That's a loss for the Knicks because he was actually shooting well from three, gave them a different look. And that trade with Detroit turns out not to be a great trade. Both players, really, one guy doesn't play and the other guy just got hurt. So that was not a great trade. And then you look at the trade with the Raptors, and that was one of the best trades that any NBA team has ever made. But the Bogdanovich injury, that's a loss, Don, because he was a sniper from 3 points.
Well, the depth is important. And like you said, he did have a great 3-point shot. And I was hoping that maybe we'd be able to see him, but I guess the surgery is going to keep him out, I guess, you know, for the rest of the way.
He's done.
You know, so the foot contusion now is, you know, you're down a player. And depth, I think, is one of the strengths of this team. But I think they'll get by. It stinks, but it's not the end of the world.
All right, it's time now for the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Bet365.
Sure,
you know, it's feast or famine for the Yankees. You know, we gave you that stat earlier. You know, they're 0-8 when they score two runs or fewer, and the tie for the worst win percentage in Major League Baseball at 0. Then when they score three runs or more, they're 19-3. And it's weird because they've been shut out now 5 times. And the only team that's been shut out more is the White Sox 8 times. So it's been, again, feast or famine, 17 games with 5 or more runs. That's tied for the second most in baseball. And they have 7 games with 0 or 1 run and tied for the 5th worst. So this is a lineup that has fits and starts. And yesterday, they were shut down. Yesterday, they were shut down by a good Orioles starter and also a bullpen that has really struggled, 18th worst ERA in baseball, and the Yankees couldn't touch them. Now, the Yankee lineup is compromised because Verdugo is not with the team. He's you know, watching his second child be born, so he's on paternity leave. And that means you're putting Trent Grisham in center field. Trent Grisham's really not a hitter. Now, he's done more damage when he was with the Padres, but here, with truncated playing time, all of a sudden the bottom of the lineup is not that fierce. You know, Oswaldo Cabrera is batting 8th. The last 8 games, he's 5-for-31. That's 161. Trent Grisham has 1 home run and a bunt single. Austin Wells has hit into some bad luck. Gleyber Torres hitting better lately, but no home runs. So it's not a fearsome lineup at times, especially when you take Verdugo out. Verdugo was actually the cleanup hitter for the 2 games where they scored 15 runs in Milwaukee. But Don, it is what it is. This is not a fierce lineup. The top of the lineup has to do the most damage, and the guy who's leading off, Anthony Volpe, is not getting on base as much as he did in the first 2 weeks of the season.
And the weather is warming up, but still, you know, they scored 30 runs in 2 games against Milwaukee. But, you know, listen, Baltimore's a really good team. And you said it's not the same old ballpark. This is not the same old team. So going to Camden Yards was always like a panacea. That's not going to happen again. But, what, 5 times? What was it? How many times were they shut out last year?
I think it's 7 the whole year.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. It's a little bit different. But I think there's extenuating circumstances. Verdugo's been good. So, you know, he's going to be missed out of the lineup. You know you're going to get better from Judge. Volpe is, you know, I don't know, you know, when you say Volpe is, I don't know what he is. I mean, he's still very young in his career, but, you know, last year he showed you that he can hit.
Well, last year he hit .209.
But, I mean, overall.
He hit home runs.
He didn't hit for average, but, you know, he still was, you know, decent on base percentage, hit home runs. I think the Yankees' offense will be fine, but the question is, what's going to happen in the postseason? That's where it is. I mean, last year was last year. They had extenuating circumstances why they weren't good offensively. This team should be built to hit, and they should pitch pretty well until Cole comes back, which looks like it's going to be sooner than later. So
I'll tell you what, Schmidt was great yesterday.
Yeah.
5 2/3 innings. He gave up a home run to the first batter, Gunnar Henderson, and after that, that's the longest outing of the year for him. And he can 31 straight games where he's allowed three runs or fewer in every single game. They always have a chance to win. They gave up an unearned run in the bottom of the eighth inning when Volpe booted what would have been the third out. So they end up losing 2-0. But they have three more games starting tonight, then tomorrow night, and then Thursday afternoon. Nestor Cortez against Dean Kramer tonight. That's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, never ordinary at Bet365. We've got to talk a little Mets, Don. Severino pitched brilliantly yesterday.
Very well.
Brilliantly. Looked like he was going to be the second Met pitcher to pitch a no-hitter and the third Met no-hitter because one was, I think, four guys who did it a couple of years ago, and then Johan Santana. But it didn't work out, and they went from winning 1-0, having a no-hitter through seven, to end up losing the game 3-1 to the Cubs. But Severino, I've always said it, when healthy, is a really, really fine pitcher, and so far he's been healthy, and it's a great pickup for the Mets. It really is a great pickup if he stays healthy.
No, I think it was worth the shot, wasn't it? I mean, because we know what he is capable of doing. Now, whether he does it or not is another story, but, you know, much like the Yankees last night, they got the pitching, just couldn't get the hitting, and gave up a couple of runs in the ninth that really did them in, and you probably felt pretty good. Mark Leiter Jr. gets the win. So the Leiter family having something to celebrate, I guess.
There you go.
So, that was disappointing because it looked like it was going to be a really special night and end up losing the game. It just, that stinks.
Now, they also make a move. Vientos came up and, you know, hit that game-winning home run, but he got sent down when Marte came off the bereavement list. And what Vientos has to do, Don, he has to go down to AAA and show he could play third base. And if he can play third base, he might get a shot because Beatty is starting to cool off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when a young guy cools off, they don't give him as much leash as like when Aaron Judge is not hitting well, because there's equity there. So if Beatty starts to cool down and Vientos shows that he could pick it at third base, then he might get the call up and they send Beatty down, because it's a situation where the Mets are looking to the future. Who's going to be the guy for the future for them? Is it Beatty? Is it Vientos? Vientos has never shown that he's a good defender, but he did get sent down after hitting that big home run, and that's just, you know, a roster maneuverability because he's hit down there, Don, but can he play third base? That's going to be his ticket to the big leagues.
And that's the door, because after the hot start, Beatty's now 4 for his last 26. Still batting .277, but that was after an incredibly hot start. So that's probably the best avenue for him. And I think Vientos has a future here, Michael. He's got a little pop, had the walk-off the other night, but, you know, he was not really given that much of a chance this year. I thought that if they didn't sign Martinez, that he was going to get the shot to be on the big club, but they sent him down before they even signed Martinez. So it didn't seem like they were really happy with him. So he's kind of landlocked now, unless he can take the third base job away from Beatty. Now, we'll see. It's only been 15 games with just four hits for Beatty, but it hasn't been the start that I think they were hoping for overall in his career. It was hot to begin the season, and we'll see if that ends up being his avenue back to the big leagues. But I agree with you. That's probably it.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Steve in Secaucus. Steve.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking me on.
You got it.
What's up?
I got a question. Okay, you got a football field that's 100 yards long, a basketball court that's 94, 10-foot-high baskets. Why are baseball fields different lengths? Why? Because home runs, to me, mean nothing. If I'm hitting a home run at 280 feet and player B is hitting home runs at 320 feet, this guy's got 10 home runs, the other guy's got 50, what sense does that make?
Well, I mean, every team is going to play 81 home games and 81 games on the road. So the dimensions are the same for the two teams that are playing that day. The reason that baseball fields are different size, and I think it's charming, I think it's a nice part of the sport, is because when they built stadiums in the old days, they had to fit it into a city block.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, sometimes it was short and left field. At Fenway, it was short and left. Yankee Stadium, one of the reasons they made it short and right was for Babe Ruth, the house that Ruth built. But a lot of the ballparks were fit into city blocks, and that's why they couldn't have the same dimensions. And if you ask me, I was commissioned for a day, I would not make it the same dimensions, Don.
Well, they felt, because the one thing they could do is keep the infield the same.
Right.
So that becomes their basketball court. That becomes their hockey rink. That becomes their football field. And for all the reasons you said, the outfield was different. Now, it doesn't have to be that way anymore. But what, how are you going to make Fenway change? They can't. They're stuck. So if you can't change Fenway, you can't change Wrigley, then why would you change anybody? And as you said, it's kind of become the charm of it. But you know, that's the reason. But unless you made Fenway Park move to the suburbs, Michael, how can they have the same dimensions as Comerica Park or whatever they call it now? Because there's a building there. they can't. What, are they going to blow up a building? Same thing with Wrigley Field. You're in the neighborhood. So,
now, Don, the hockey rinks used to be different sizes, right?
Well, the only two that were different was Chicago Stadium and Boston Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And because, again, the same thing. They just, the way they made the, and so the
they
neutral
were basketball
zone,
arenas first.
Yeah, the neutral zone was what was smaller. So both ends were the same as far as the team's offensive zones, but the neutral zone was a little bit smaller. But once they opened up the new buildings in Chicago and Boston, they all went back to the regular dimensions. But it was the same kind of thing. Like those, there was only so much room you could do. These were inner city buildings. So you did the best that you could at that particular time. But you don't want to. There was a different way to play at the Boston Garden. By the way, they built their team because of the smaller neutral zone. But that's the new building's been open for 25 years now, so that's over. But I like the charm of baseball being a little bit different.
So do I.
You'd have something to complain about if it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't all 60 feet 6 inches, you know, or 90 feet for, with the bases. That would be compromised. But I think it's charming.
Now a lot of people could say, okay, the right field at Yankee Stadium yields too many cheap home runs, but it also yields it for the other team, and it hurts Yankee pitchers. So you know, you get some and you give some. That's the way it works. It's not like they moved the fences back when Gerrit Cole's on the mound.
Well, I remember you complaining about, and I guess you had a point, about when they originally opened Citi Field because it was just monstrous.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it was unfair. And I understood your point, but I thought the phrasing was wrong. It's not unfair. It's fair. Both teams play under the same conditions.
Yeah, but it was unfair to their best player.
It's unfair to David Wright, who saw his home runs get cut down from Shea Stadium to Citi Field, but it played fair for both teams, but it was unfair to home run hitters. But it was very. The Mets were always built around pitching, but that was obnoxious how big that building was. And then they brought him in Detroit too. That was also unfair.
Oh, it was ridiculous how deep it was.
Yeah,
I don't understand. Especially you want runs to be scored for the good of the sport. You want offense. Now, Detroit was cavernous. It actually made Citi Field look cozy. But now they've moved in the left field wall, and they have the great wall of, you know, the great wall of. What does Howie call it? Shea?
The great Queens? Wall of Flushing.
Flushing. And that's not the home run wall anymore.
Yeah, but you want to know a joke, Michael, and it's a great moment in New York sports history. But, you know, the Polo Grounds, that was a joke. The Robbie Thompson home run was a joke. Now, don't take it away from him. The Dodgers had the same thing that they could have taken advantage of, but that wouldn't play today, Michael.
And the great catch that will go down forever, Willie Mays on Vic Wertz, it should have been out by 20 feet. He wouldn't have ever been able to catch the ball. But it was right. Like it was at 480 feet to center field at the Polo Grounds.
They literally, I mean, it was a that's why they called it the Polo Grounds. It was a polo field, but basically it was a football field you played on. So, like, Michael, left field was a joke.
Yeah.
What was it actually? Like, what was it, like 255? Like something ridiculous.
Well, I mean, the L.A. Coliseum was ridiculous, too, before the Dodgers built Dodger Stadium. I mean, there's a history of it in the game. It's just, it happens. Let's go to Elvis in Connecticut. Elvis.
Hey, Michael. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter. I know Peter's not there, but, yo, guys, born and raised in the Bronx, big Yankee fan, big fan of your guys. Talk about dream team. Your guys are the dream team. Aww. For real, my first time that I could get through your guys, and I'm excited. And I was going to talk about a lot of things about baseball, but I'm just excited to be with your guys. One thing I got to say, Michael, what you think about, they said Soto, when he first got to the Yankees, that they know when to call, who to call, if that has a progress. And what you think about Judge, because I still believe he's still injured because of the oblique way he suffered in spring training. but he's going to hit. The only thing that I'm concerned about is Torres. And for real, guys, I'm a big fan of your guys. You ever be in Connecticut, stop by the Sloppy Waffle. You got free waffles.
That sounds fun. Sloppy Waffle.
I'm a big waffle guy.
Listen, are you a big waffle guy or not?
Yes.
You are.
Big
I'm
waffle
not.
Guy.
The kids are.
What's the matter with a waffle? It holds
nothing,
the syrup.
Nothing. I'd rather have a pancake.
Well, pancakes are delightful as well, but the waffle, it...
You give me a choice, I'm taking a pancake. I don't like the ridges.
But the ridges are what makes it work. It holds the syrup.
I don't like syrup. I don't like to put syrup on.
Wait a minute.
I put butter on it.
I like both, but I think... But you don't like syrup?
No. It's not that I don't like the taste of syrup. I do. I don't like it. I just don't put it on my pancake. I put butter on.
Oh, my dear God.
Melted butter.
Well, you know what? Do you know what you're missing?
No, I know what I'm missing. Probably about 500 calories.
Oh, we'll see. That's a different argument.
We didn't even answer Elvis's questions. Listen.
I'm good.
Aaron Judge says he's healthy. Okay, that's it. He's healthy. unless he says he's hurt, well, what can we do? We can't force it out of him. Says he's healthy.
Give him an exam every day? I mean, I think something's going on there. You, I mean, if you're a fan, you hope. But he didn't all of a sudden lose it. Something's going on.
Well, I mean, he got it back for Saturday and Sunday in Milwaukee. We'll see. Gleyber Torres, I think he's putting pressure on himself. He's a free agent, wants to stay with the Yankees. And now that he doesn't have a home run, it's been 51 games, by the way. That's a third of the season, essentially.
That's a lot.
51 games dating back to last year. Last home run he hit was off of Eduardo Rodriguez of the Tigers. I think it was September 7th or 9th. And as for Soto, Brian Cashman said there's been no contact with Scott Boras about that. Boras is not going to do a contract for Soto right now. It'd be crazy. It would be crazy. Let's go to Rich in Cocoa Beach, which sounds delicious.
It does.
Yeah, hey guys. Thanks for putting me on. I just want to talk about the Met in the Wild situation.
All right, who do you have?
Sandy Koufax.
Ooh, really? Where'd you meet him?
On a flight from Orlando to Newark, I sat with him actually for 2 hours.
Was he nice?
Oh, it was awesome. Let me just tell you the whole circumstance quick.
Okay.
I see him coming down the aisle, and even though it's snow white hair, I said, "Oh my God, it's Sandy Koufax." He stops right by my seat around 25, we'll say, and I said, "Sandy Koufax." He says, "Yes." I shook his hands like I was super excited. I said, "What a thrill." He says, "Thank you." He sat across from me between two rather robust women, and I could see he was cramped. I sat on the aisle seat next to me. The window was open. I said, "Sandy, maybe you'd like to sit over here." He says, "Great." He went over there and we sat there, and I can't say we talked for 2 hours, but we did talk baseball, but we talked about a whole bunch of other things. He was terrific. He was a
He doesn't do a lot. Like, he's kind of a white whale, isn't he, Michael? Like, he doesn't do very much.
He shows up for Dodger stuff.
Yeah, and I know.
But I will tell you what, Don, because I've been so lucky in this business to meet everybody. If I met him, I'd be tongue-tied.
But that just shows you something. You've been around baseball for a long time, never met him. He doesn't do a lot of interviews. I know he did that cameo in Entourage.
Right.
But you don't see him much. At all, so that's a really good one. Peter probably wouldn't have appreciated it, but
probably wouldn't know who he is.
Oh, that's strong.
Now
I watched Entourage, so
that's true. One thing, I asked Al Leiter one favor, because you know I don't collect autographs because I don't want to put myself in that position of getting turned down.
Right,
and I don't think it's right for somebody in my position to do it. There are exceptions, but I plead it with Al to please get me a Sandy Koufax ball, because Al and Sandy are really close.
Okay.
Because Sandy and Fred Wilpon are really close. Al never came through. Never came through, ever.
Did he tell you he would?
He said, yeah, I'll do it. Never got.
Al's a man of his word, though. Maybe just never got a chance to
really?
I like
a lot of people had a sighting in the wild yesterday, Don. Because Bill Murray took the 7 train last night after the Mets-Cubs game.
How about that?
So everybody that was on that train, they had a great situation in the wild. Let's go to Doug in Staten Island. Dougie.
Mike, my man.
What's up?
So listen, back in 2002, you're going to remember this. Me and my boys went out for lunch. I'm smoking a cigarette right after lunch in front of 650 Fifth Avenue, and we were talking about you moving from the radio booth to the TV booth. And who walks out of the building but you? Remember that?
This was 2 years ago?
No, in 2002.
Oh, that and that. Okay, vaguely.
And I turn around, and it's like you appeared literally 10 minutes after we were speaking about you.
I think I do remember
this. The devil. And you, I go, speak of the devil, and you go, oh, what were you talking about? Anything good? And I told you, you know, how we were speaking about the move, and you go, so what do you guys think? And we gave you good reviews. You were all right, but you were the nicest guy. And it was, you were so genuine. Like, we were actually trying to get in touch with your mother to tell her what a gentleman you were.
Aww.
True story.
Well, that was not, I mean, you would have had to pray because she wasn't alive in 2002. But
no?
Well, wait a minute. She,
no,
was.
She was.
I'm sorry. Yes, she was. I'm losing my mind. Yeah, she, because you know why I remember this? Because if you remember the first year of Yes, Don,
mm-hmm.
it was not on Cablevision.
Right.
And my mom lived she lived in Scarsdale at the time, and the carrier was Cablevision. And she was not able to watch me. And did she rip me? You made a stupid mistake.
Oh.
You're on the radio all the time. I can't even, you're not even on TV anymore. Mom, I am on TV. You're not on my TV. I can't believe you did this. You had a good job. You should have stayed there.
See, she was thinking, you know, what kind of joke of a place did you join that I can't watch it on television? Because that's how my mom would be. Like, what an awful decision you made. What kind of ragamuffin organization did you join? Fly-by-night organization that they're not on my TV. Because you can't explain to them the whole, you know, the contracts and all that. All she knows, she had you on every game on the radio. And now you're gone.
And not only did she have me on every game, but she would see me post-game on MSG. So she could see me on TV. And all of a sudden, I was gone for a year. Now,
and I don't... I'm saying this to support you, Michael. I'm not ripping my mom. But, like, if the Yankees had an afternoon game, I'll get a call. Why aren't you on? It's like, the Yes Network doesn't exist for the Michael Kay Show. It exists for the Yankee games. But that's just how mom thinks, right? Like, what's going on? Why aren't you on?
Oh, she was red hot. My mom was just so upset. And every day we spoke. Smart move. Smart move taking that Yes job. Now what's going to happen when it goes out of business? What's going to happen then?
Right.
I don't know, Mom. I don't know what's going to happen. Stupid. How could you have done that? I was in pain back then, Don. And if I'm in pain, what should I do?
Well, friends, and Michael, I consider you a friend, go see Dr. Jay Shah. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let your neck, back, joint, or nerve pain slow you down from doing all the things that you love. It is time to reclaim your active lifestyle. Call our friend Dr. Jay Shah today at Samuel Pain. Dr. Jay Shah treats joint, neck, back, sciatica, and nerve pain. Dr. Shah is also a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, scars, incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shah to take a non-surgical approach with precise image-guided procedures without pain medications. Enjoy life pain-free. Same-day and next-day appointments available. Go to samuelpain.com. Put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shah. Go to samuelpain.com today and regain your active lifestyle. Enjoy all of your favorite activities pain-free. Samuel Payne now has 3 convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit SamuelPayne.com. You will wish you met Dr. Shah sooner. Most major insurance are accepted.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
How we have the Knicks and the Sixers. Knicks could put the Sixers to bed tonight at Madison Square Garden. And tune into MSG Networks for Game 5 tonight starting at 6:30 with Wally, Alan Hahn, and Bill Pito. And stay for Mike Breen and Walt Clyde Frazier's Game Call. MSG Networks has Game 5 tonight. So don't miss your favorite announcers and the local coverage starting at 6:30 p.m. tonight. And Wally Szczerbiak, nice enough to join us now. Give us a little preview of what should be a dynamic night at the Garden. Wally, how you doing? Michael and Don.
Oh, great to hear from you guys. I am excited. I'm heading in right now on the LIE. The Garden has been rocking the first two games. Boy, it was the place to be. The fans were outstanding. The celebrities were all out. It's going to be a tough game tonight. Knicks are going to need the fan support like they had in that game too, especially to come back down 5 with under 30 seconds to go. That was one of the biggest shots in franchise history that Dante DiVincenzo hit. They went and got 1 out of 2 down there in Philly, and tonight I anticipate Philly playing for their lives. You know what it's like when a team has their backs against the wall. They don't want to go home, so the Knicks are going to have to play well to finish them off.
Now, I always hate the phrase, wanted it more. But there's got to be something that explains why the Knicks win every loose ball, why they're grabbing every rebound. Is it just the way the Knicks are built, or are they taking advantage of something that maybe Philadelphia just doesn't have?
Well, when you're a little banged up like Philly is, especially Joel Embiid, by the way, it was a lot of fun calling the game with you on the radio, Don. That was a bucket list moment for me, and that was a great time.
right back at you, man. That was a ball. You were very nice. You made it so much easier. You're great at what you do, buddy.
You too. I appreciate that. But a guy like Joel Embiid, he only has 2 rebounds in the fourth quarter the whole entire series, so he's very hampered. Listen, other guys... Josh Hart seems to do that to everyone in the league. He comes out of there with every single loose ball. Precious is leading offensive rebounder in the NBA, or one of the top 5 at least, especially when he's healthy. So that's how the Knicks kind of built this roster. They built this roster with competitive guys. That's the most important thing. You got to be willing to compete. You got to be willing to play physical. You have to be willing to work. And listen, it says something about the Philadelphia 76ers. The numbers don't lie. The Knicks are killing the Sixers on the boards. They got every rebound in the fourth quarter. Even though their offense wasn't clicking, they got extra possessions, were able to just milk the clock with all their offensive rebounding prowess. So from the outside, I have to quite agree with you that it looks like the Knicks want it more, but that's what they pretty much do on a nightly basis to every other team.
Now, Wally, you said that, you know, Embiid is physically compromised, but still, he was able to get 50 points. So what is a manifestation of compromise for him? Is that he's not getting rebounds?
Yes, that's a big thing. And also defensively, he's not the same presence blocking shots. He only has 1 dunk since he returned from that knee surgery with like 10 games left in the regular season. And that's very unlike him. That just shows... He doesn't trust that knee. He doesn't have the power and strength to hold his spot and hold his balance. And the Knicks are a physical team. So the Knicks are banging him around. They're pushing him around. When he gets under the basket, you know, he has trouble finishing. He's much more comfortable playing face-up, it seems like to me, shooting threes and not, you know, going in the post and having a big guy leaning on him and banging on him. And I think one of the reasons why is because of that surgery. I mean, that... You know, I'm not saying I've had the same surgery, but I've had knee surgeries similar, meniscus surgeries. you know, it's no fun, especially when you, you know, have play 35, 40 minutes, then you got to rest today and play again. That knee's got to be sore. He's got that big, huge brace on it, which really helps stabilize the knee, but it also causes a lot of mobility issues because you don't have the function of that whole entire leg that you normally do without a brace on and without coming off surgery like he has.
Bogdanovich is done. How does that hurt the Knicks?
I think it makes a big difference. You know, the Knicks went out and got him right around the trade deadline, and they wanted to secure that bench and get some shooting for this team off the bench and also in key moments. He's a veteran that's played in a lot of playoff games. He's a 20-point-per-game scorer perennially every single year. He's made some big shots for this team in this series. I think it's a big loss. It really is. It was an unfortunate play. It wasn't a dirty play by any means. It's just a play that happens sometimes in football when you get rolled up on your ankle, or in basketball when there's a loose ball and a guy tries to dive and sell out and get it. I feel for Bogey. He's a great guy, great veteran, and the Knicks are going to miss him. But they've had guys hurt all season long, as you guys know, and everyone's been ready to step up and fill that void. So we'll see who gets the call. We'll see who steps in, and hopefully whoever does plays like Bogey was capable of playing.
Try to convince me, Wally, that the Sixers don't come in and just phone it in today, because it's very unlikely that they're going to win three straight against the Knicks. They were very unhappy with their home crowd, so you can imagine how unhappy they're going to be at the Garden tonight. What will stop them from just packing it in?
We'll see. I've been in that situation before. You know, when you have a lot of pride in your locker room, you know, when you think about it, too, and logically, like, it doesn't take much to get back into this series. All you have to do is win this one game at MSG, and you've shown the ability to, because the first two games they were pretty much coin flips, and they gave a game away in game two with a 5-point lead under 30 seconds. So their mindset in their locker room is going to be, let's just play one of our best 48 minutes of our season, get this win at the Garden, then we're coming back to our house. Obviously, we weren't happy with the way, you know, the Knicks crowd took over half of the building. But at the same time, you know, we're a good home team. You win that game, you just take one game at a time, and then you flip the coin in game seven. You know, it's on the road. It's at MSG. So that's the mindset in that locker room. Nick Nurse is an NBA championship-winning coach. That roster is loaded. I mean, you look at who they have on that roster top to bottom. It's loaded. And it seems like Joel Embiid, although he's hampered, he's not as bad as he could have been, and as a result, with him on that floor and Maxey on that floor, Sixers are going to be a tough team to beat, I think, tonight.
Now, is that something that has to get said in the room, or just based on how they played all year, does it go unsaid?
It depends. You might have a veteran that gets up and says, hey, guys, you know, I love what Joel Embiid said after game two. He said, we're winning this series. I think that was the right message to send to his guys in the locker room. You can't have any doubt creep into your mind, especially after they gave away that game two in the last 30 seconds. So that's a veteran locker room. They have some winners in that locker room. And I think someone's saying the right thing. That coach is always going to say the right thing. And when you look at it simply, you take one game at a time and get this one on the road, then you're in the driver's seat at home, and then you flip a coin game seven. I'm sure that's what's being said in the locker room.
Wally Szczerbiak, Alan Hahn, and Bill Pito will be on the pregame tonight for Game 5, MSG Network. Their coverage starts at 6:30. Wally joins us now here on the Michael Kay Show. You know, there was a poll of NBA players, Wally, that the coach they would least like to play for is Tom Thibodeau. And then it just seems like the Knicks players love playing for this guy. Now, are those other players wrong, or did they just find the right guys that would fit the style that Tibbs likes?
I just know I would love to play for Tom Thibodeau as a player. Being around the team a little bit, calling some games, being on the road, it is pure professionalism, the way he coaches and runs that locker room and runs this organization as the coach. He is an outstanding coach. His record speaks for his excellence and his greatness. And the players, these players love playing for him. Josh Hart came to bat for him. He said those guys that voted him least likely to want to play for him, he said those guys are all must be soft. And it's because Tom Thibodeau, you know, he knows how to win. He knows how to demand excellence out of his team. He also, what I love about him and getting to know how he's coaching, he's done such a great job with the Knicks, is he operates team first. He does not put any individual ahead of the team. And you also have a superstar in Jalen Brunson that has the same type of attitude. And that's how he handles his business. You know, as great as he is, he's all about the team first. So that makes Tom Thibodeau's job a lot easier. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to win if you were playing in the NBA, because if you play for Tom Thibodeau, you're going to win. So whoever said they don't want to play for him, they kind of don't want to prioritize winning, because that coach helps you win basketball games.
No, Brunson was kind of handled during the season series and didn't put up the same kind of numbers against Philly that he did against everybody else, but then that all changed in the last game. Did he crack the code, or is it still going to be kind of difficult for him to get his against this Philadelphia defense?
I think in the first two games, I noticed Philadelphia was paying a little bit more attention to him, kind of clogging up the lane a little bit, not allowing him to operate and taking him away out of what he, you know, really, you know, likes to do. And they were daring other people to beat him, and other people were. Josh Hart's making shots. Dante had a good game, too. There were other Bogdanović hit a bunch of shots at home in those first two games. But then I noticed in Philadelphia, I think they played a little bit more straight up. And off those screen and rolls, there wasn't as much shrinking into the lane, so there was a little more space for him to operate. And when he has space to operate, I mean, I know he got 34 shots up last game. If they play him the same way tonight, he should try to get 40 shots up, because he's unstoppable if you guard him one-on-one and you don't throw two defenders at him to try to get the ball out of his hands. He's just come so far in his career. He's become one of those superstars that if you play him one-on-one, he's going to hit you for 40 or 50. And then if you double him, he's going to trust his teammates, get them the rock, and they're going to have open shots all night long. So I think Philly's going to go back to what they did in game one and two and try to make all the other Knicks beat them and not allow Jalen to go for big numbers.
Wally, Don and I were talking about this at the beginning of the show, that, you know, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. They still have to, you know, end it with Philly, but the road's kind of opening up for them. Milwaukee is hurt. Their three players are hurt. It looks like it could be Indiana, and Indiana's a good team, but it's not as tough as, I would say, a fully loaded Milwaukee team. And then Boston loses Kristaps Porzingis yesterday. I don't know for how long. Do you see this road, at least to the Eastern Conference Finals, opening up for the Knicks a little bit more than we would have thought earlier?
Well, that's why the huge debate is an interesting question. The huge debate at the end of the season is, do the Knicks really want the two seed? Because they're going to have to either play Miami or Philly. And I said, you want as good a seed as you can possibly get. You see the home court advantage that the Knicks have. The Garden is just an unbelievable home court advantage. So now they're guaranteed home court if they win the first round. And that's big. I mean, that's huge. And then you never know what's going to happen in NBA playoffs. You see guys going down with injuries all the time. So you can only worry about what you can control. And the Knicks sprinted to the finish, got to the two seed. Now they're playing a banged-up Joel Embiid. I said, listen, you got to play the Sixers. Yeah, they're good. Yeah, they have a great roster. They have the former MVP, but he's not 100%. I think you can beat that team because he's not 100%. Hopefully, we'll see if the Knicks take care of business tonight. You know, they should. They're in the driver's seat, but you never know. And then you're looking at a Bucks team that they're banged up too, you know, and, you know, the Pacers are tough. Like, the Pacers can score. They made 23 threes, a franchise record on the Knicks in the regular season. I called that game in Indianapolis, and that team gets up and down the floor and has shooters all over the place. So that's going to be a very intriguing matchup. But the home court is huge for the Knicks to have that home court advantage. And then the KP injury, he was the Knicks' Achilles heel. They could not figure out how to guard him from that three-point line. He really hurt the Knicks all season in the regular season. That was a tough matchup for the Knicks to guard. So depending on his status, that's a huge break if the Knicks happen to get to that Eastern Conference Finals and if Boston happens to get to that Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, great stuff. I mean, yeah. I'm so looking forward to the game. I'll be watching it during commercials during the Yankee game, but have a great time on the post game and the pregame and enjoy the game as well, Wally. We appreciate you coming on.
Anytime, boys. Great to talk to you.
All right, that's Wally Szczerbiak. He'll be with Bill Pito and our guy Alan Hahn on MSG starting at 6:30.
Wow, I've never been called a bucket list before. That was humbling.
Even Nancy doesn't put you on her bucket list.
No. But listen, I only did one game with Wally. It was the only game that the Knicks lost that I did. But he's so professional. He's so into it. And I'm just kind of taken aback that, you know, that was back in, Michael, that was back in like November, early December, and that he remembered and called it a bucket list. That's
so, are you saying that you prefer doing a game with Wally than with Monica? Is that what you're saying?
No. When did I say? Oh, I said it was
great. I don't know. I want things to be clear. That's
I will say this. I never heard Monica say that I was any kind of bucket list. Or I don't think you are
for her.
But Alan was really gracious as well. I enjoyed working with everybody.
You're going to get a ring. I know it. Two rings. You're going to get a Ranger and a Knick ring.
Imagine. I don't think that's going to happen. Not that I don't think they can win the championship. I might get some consideration from the Rangers. I don't think the Knicks. Because
why not? How many games did you do? Eight?
Seven. There were 6-1.
Seven. So almost a tenth of their games.
You can make the case, Michael, that I might have been the reason they got the 2-seed. But I don't deserve a ring.
So they were 6-1 with you at the mic.
6-1.
I think that's a ring. Just me. I'm not making the decision.
Well, that would be something, Michael, because you have rings. I don't have any rings. Peter doesn't have any rings.
Well, Peter,
so I'd like to catch up with you.
Peter has two wedding rings.
So you think that he's not here? That it makes it okay?
Yeah, I would have said the same thing if he was here.
That is true. I don't think him being here would have stopped you.
No, in fact, it would have incentivized me.
You would have said it with a little bit more.
Yeah.
Joie de vivre or whatever.
Excuse me?
Hey, you know, Don, I don't know if you know this. The hardest thing about getting into shape is taking that first step. Isn't it time for you to reach out to NJ Diet? They will contractually guarantee that you lose at least 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations across New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, or available from home with live online video consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET. Lose weight the natural way, quickly and safely. Call 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer without any shots. Go to njdiet.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
A lot of people all over me, Donnie. A lot of people all over me because of my no syrup. And also my choice of no waffles.
Listen, I'll take a pancake over a waffle.
Any day.
Given the choice. But I do enjoy a waffle every now and then.
Too hard to cut into.
Well, what kind of waffles are you having? It's basically the same batter as a pancake.
It's those ridges make it a very difficult navigation.
I think the ridges hold in the butter. They hold in the syrup.
Like to talk to the person who has a choice between a fluffy pancake or a difficult ridge-filled waffle and would choose the waffle. I want to know. You can contact us on social media. You can call in. Because anybody that would choose a waffle over a pancake, I don't get it.
Now,
it's the International House of Pancakes. It's not the International House of Waffles. Now, I know it's the Waffle House, but it should be the Pancake House.
Well, then the sloppy waffle is what started this conversation in Newington, Connecticut. And the yes is showing the picture. I had my meal coming back with the Rangers because I hadn't had breakfast. They had chicken and waffles. That was delightful.
On the plane?
Yeah.
Now, was it boneless chicken?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Did you have syrup?
Oh, yeah. Put it on both. Put it on the chicken,
too. You put syrup on chicken?
Oh, yeah. It's good.
Might want to check those arteries soon.
What do you mean? First of all, it was an appetizer. Seriously. So it wasn't a big portion. I'm sure the Yankees feed you well.
Did Sam have some, too?
Sam, I don't want to get... People don't need to know what Sam ate. He did not have the chicken and waffles, though.
Looked like he's a Hall of Famer. People want to know what he ate.
I sent you the picture, right?
Yeah, I did. You both look very happy.
It was kind of sad. It was a bittersweet moment. Rangers advanced
because that's his last game on the TV.
But we say goodbye to the local television. Now he will do some radio. He becomes Kenny's fill-in from here on out. So he will probably get some games on the radio, but. You know, Joe Mick is done, and all the people that work so hard on the local broadcast. You go through it, too, during baseball, Michael.
That's the only bad thing about doing TV.
Yeah, but in the NBA and the NHL, you at least get that first round.
Yeah, we don't even get that.
So we had a little bit of a get-together after the game on Sunday. And, you know, you travel with these guys all year, and they do all the games. And
Sam get loaded?
Thanks. No, Sam.
Well, I mean, as a get together, big celebration, probably threw some.
I don't even know he. Well, this is none of your business. But I could tell you that he did not. No, he's a very responsible person.
Well, he wasn't driving. He could have gotten loaded.
No, but that's a tale out of school. But I could tell you, no, he's salt of the earth, Sam. Sam and Joe are absolutely terrific human beings, and nobody's going to get loaded in public. That's not who Sam's about. Sam is called class, and Sam, almost to an annoyance, huge Yankee fan.
I know he is.
I mean, like, I had to say, Sam, listen, I'm just not interested.
You shut down Sam?
Well, I'm just, no, because I think because I do the show with you, he must think that, like, I'm a Yankee guy, too,
So you told him, Sam, I'm not interested?
Of course not. But it's like, yeah, he likes to break it down.
You give him my number. We could break it down together.
I get enough of that on this show. I don't need to do it away. But no, listen, Sam is, and he's been a big help to my career, and he's tremendous. And I took a picture with him. I'll tweet it. I don't think I tweeted it out.
Yes is showing it right now. No. Yes,
did I tweet it?
Yes has it.
I don't know.
Yes just put it on.
Oh, that's an old picture.
Oh.
But
because I think in the new picture, Sam's on the right of the picture. On the old picture, he's on the left.
Yeah, I think we got switched around because we are we sit together on the plane. I'll tweet it out.
Why don't you do that?
It's going to be very similar to that one.
Yeah, you both haven't changed much.
Well, I dropped a few lbs.
Well, you were never heavy.
Thank you. Other than
the Repug days.
Well, the Repug days when nobody took me aside.
I did. Anyway, easily most anticipated sporting event of the year, the pickleball showdown between Team DiPietro and Rothenberg and Team Anita Marks and Amani Toomer. It's Sunday, May 5th at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Sunday, May 5th. Pre-game coverage kicks off on ESPN New York at 9 a.m. with a live broadcast hosted by Anita Marks as she sets the stage. I also believe it's Anita's birthday today.
Is that true?
Happy birthday, Anita.
Happy birthday. I'm gonna send her a nice text.
Look at you. Then shortly after the show, the paddles come out for the Pickleball Showdown for the Ages. Be there on May 5th to witness the showcase event at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Hey, I talk for a living, and whether I'm in the studio or at the ballpark, I'm sure to have a cup of Bigelow tea by my side. There's nothing like fueling my voice, body, and soul with only the finest tea. Bigelow Earl Grey. This delightful blend of black tea and real bergamot oil is not your ordinary tea. It's a broadcaster's dream come true. Keeps me energized and focused throughout the broadcast, ensuring I deliver nothing but the best for my loyal listeners. So join the millions of fans that make Bigelow Tea number one in New York. Bigelow Tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees. Well, if you're like me, you love to spend time at home. My home is my happy place. I've been telling you that my house needed a refresh, so I chose the painting professionals at Serta Pro Painters. They exceeded my expectations. I easily scheduled online, and my Serta Pro Painter consultant provided a free estimate on site right there. We walked through the detailed estimate, and I was able to book the project immediately. And the painting, it was exceptional. Serta Pro Painters offers a warranty, so I have confidence that we'll stand by their work and will make sure I'm completely satisfied. Free estimates, reliable communication, professional painting, all at the right price. Are you ready to paint and take projects off your to-do list? Contact Serta Pro Painters and get started today. Each Serta Pro Painters business is independently owned and operated by men and women who live in our community. They are a local business you can support. Schedule your free estimate online at SertaPro.com. That's Serta with a C. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is simple. Choose happy. Choose Serta Pro Painters.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.